This morning we are going to be talking about seeds. If you didn't gather that from my lovely skit we just did. So in that skit, was Sal very helpful by throwing out bird seed to plant and grow, to harvest and sell? Was he helpful at all? No, he took the bird seed without looking at it, without seeing even what it was, and just threw it out in the wintertime, probably in the snow, because Sal was awesome like that. I think I'll take this hat off. I'm getting a little sweaty now. on my bald head. Shave my head for summertime. Anybody else do that? Yeah? But Sal was not very helpful at all. So if you'll turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians verse 3 for me. Verses 6 through 7. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth, so neither he who plants nor he who is anything, but only God who gives growth. So today we are talking, like I said, what types of seeds are you planting? Where are you planting? And when are you planting? Has anybody ever grown a garden or worked on a farm where you work? Yeah, got a few people out there. We've started growing a garden this year. It's a little harder at our house because we got to haul water to our house because we have a cistern, and then we also have pretty much just sand. So, but I got some stuff to grow. I'm kind of happy about that. But in growing a garden, you have to go out and prepare your fields. You have to, till it up or remove the weeds, the grass, the rocks, trees, or stumps. Anybody ever tried to remove a stump? Roots? It's a lot of work. It's really hard. But to do this, you want to do this so you can grow a good crop. Then after that, you need to maybe fertilize the soil to make it a little more rich for those seeds and the plants to grow. And this is the same in our lives and in our walk with God. We need the reminder of planting God in our lives every day. Do you guys try and plant God in your lives every day? You read your Bible, talk to him every day. This isn't just on a Sunday or Wednesday, but every day we need to remove anything that God does not want in our lives. Like those tree stumps. Sometimes it might be really hard to remove those tree stumps to get it more fertile for God. Turn your Bibles to Luke. Chapter 8. Verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So we need God's word every day so that he can grow in us, grow us to be more like him as a co-worker or as a parent. I am a parent of two children. You saw them at the end of the video. And as a parent, we have this great desire for our children to become lifelong Christ followers. That doesn't happen just by itself, as kids grow up. We must plant seeds of faith to help them grow into an active and strong disciple. And being strongly connected to your children is an important priority in parents' lives, or at least I hope it is. Sharing each other's world with them is an important first step. So how connected are you with your kids? Do you know what is important to your children? Do they see a genuine faith in your daily walk, either with God or with God, without God? The scripture can guide and provide hope for us as parents. This is not just applied to people with kids, but maybe in your workplace. I'm just associating with kids because I have kids. It's my experience. But it's also in your workplace, going to the store, going on vacation, wherever. yada, yada. So we're going to listen to a short little story that shows having God's word in your life can change the way you live your life for the better. So if you want to throw that up there.
Put that on.
Now, would people ever come and steal the fish out of your nets?
Very much so. At first, I would take a shotgun and I would threaten them. And I would say, don't ever touch my nets again or I'll kill you. As I got older in the faith, I read that text in Romans 12, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. I'm like, Lord, they're stealing my fish, and you're saying, be good to them. But I thought, wait a minute, I've never tried being good to someone who was stealing from me. There were two guys right down here, about 100 yards, they were fixing to steal my fish. I ran straight at them. When I got up on them, they threw the net back in the river, you know. Looking at me, I said, why are you boys stealing my fish? I said, I'm doing this for a living. You're taking tennis shoes and food off my table. I said, but you're in luck, because today, I'm gonna let you know you don't have to steal. I'll give them to you.
I bet their eyes were just like...
Their eyes were big. So I said, let's see what y'all will fix to steal. So I raised the net up, had a lot of fish in it. I said, pull your boat over here. And they're like, well, no, we're just gonna leave. I said, no, come on over here. I said, evidently, we're having a fish fry, and you didn't catch any, so you're stealing them from me. I said, gentlemen, next time you need any fish, you don't have to steal them. Just come up there and say you're not catching anything, and I'll give them to you.
They were not expecting that.
The word spread up down the river. That old guy, if you ask him for some fish, he'll give you some. You don't have to steal them. And they all quit stealing. I learned a valuable lesson there. Just be good to them. Jesus said, if he asks for your coat, give him the shirt off your back. Give it to him. I rock on, and every time I look up, I'm being blessed more and more each day. So I'm thinking, you know?
That's right. You read principles like that, but when you hear the principle put into action in real life, in the real story, it just makes it...
Because think about it. You trying to tell me somebody's stealing from you and you're going to be good to them? I said, you ought to try it sometime.
It worked.
It'll sure work. Puttering up.
You ought to try it sometime, because it'll work. Has anybody ever had an experience like that? Yeah? So Phil read that Bible, that scripture, and he actually put it into action. I feel like a lot of us sometimes read scripture, throw it in the back of our minds and be like, yep, I read it, but we don't put it into action. And he was rewarded with nobody stealing his fish, stealing the food off of his table, the tennis shoes off his feet. He was rewarded because he put the Bible that planted that seed in his heart, he put that into action. So we plant seeds every day. And my kids are at the age of seeing everything I do or Megan does and usually copying it. It could be a good or a bad thing. It could be a great thing if I'm living the word of God and trying to be like Christ. It can be a great thing. And believe me, no matter what people tell you, no matter what my wife may tell you, I am not like Christ. I do have my problems. I am not exactly like him. But my kids would see what I do daily and copy that. And with that, when I have my problems and I want to copy those, or my kids want to copy those every chance that they can get. So I was going to the dentist a few weeks ago, and it's been a long time since I've been to a dentist. The only reason I went was because my wisdom teeth were hurting. So I went in, and the dentist told me, they hooked me up to this cool x-ray machine. I haven't been there in so long, it's like circles around your head. It's weird. But it was kind of cool. But they told me that I needed all four of my wisdom teeth pulled out. I was like, great, that's awesome. So I called my wife to come back and get me because she went and took the kids to the park. And when I got in the van, I told Megan that I needed all four of my wisdom teeth pulled. Thought that was pretty exciting. And then I realized the schedule for getting them pulled was on my birthday. I was like, oh. And I said, dang it. And I said this in the van with my kids in the back, and my daughter says, "Dad, you don't say dang it. You don't say dang it." And for the next 2 or 3 minutes, she just continued this, "You don't say that, Dad. You don't say that." And one little thing that I said, I planted that seed there. Even though she knows not to say it, she sees me saying it, and what is that going to do inside of her in her later years? So dads, when you're fixing something in your garage or out on the lawn and you break a bolt off or you smash your finger with a wrench and your kids are watching, or maybe they're holding a flashlight for you. I did that for my dad. They're going to see how you act and react to things, no matter how bad it may seem. If you crush your thumb, there's a few choice words I've heard before said in that. But I remember that from when I was a kid too. Seeds were planted in my life. And just remember, everything you do may be copied someday. I'll tell you, it's pretty humbling, and it gets me real quick that when I had this dentist appointment and got all four teeth pulled, and I realized my daughter saw that and was telling me what not to do. But I need to change the way I am living to plant a good seed in her life so she does not grow up copying things that I do that may be wrong. She keeps me in line, trying to be careful. But I'll say it again, this just isn't in kids' lives, because maybe you don't have, you know, kids. But this applies to everywhere you go. People are always watching you, especially if you're claiming to be a Christian and follow the Bible, people are watching you even more to see what you're going to do. So if you turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes 11, verse 6. If I can get my Bible open here. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 6. "In the morning, sow your seed, and in the evening, withhold not your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good." You're planting everywhere you go. Whether it is bird seed in the winter, like Sal did, or whether it is wheat in the summer, like Al did, the wheat will provide for you, this bird seed will not. It's whether it is good or bad. Now we are called to plant seeds so we can bring others to know God, and we are not called to live in a worldly way, but not just plant, but tend to those fields. God can come back and bring as many, we tend to those fields, so God can come back to this earth and bring as many with him up to heaven. But remember, it's God who causes the growth. It's not us. We plant seeds, but God will cause that growth in somebody else's life. But you must be willing to sacrifice so you can show others how to live. So seeds need water and fertilizer to make and yield a good crop. So have any of you guys ever seen a manure spreader? Sprays poo all over. Manure spreader. It's not the most wanted job, but it is necessary to yield a good crop. It shoots manure all over to help growth, and sometimes those manure spreaders can get clogged, and sometimes you may have to go in there and unclog it by hand. That's yummy, isn't it? No, not really. You'll turn your Bibles to Matthew 18, verse 15. See what I'm getting with the manure here in a sec. "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault, between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take two or three witnesses, and if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen to even the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector." So there may be times we have to do an unpleasant thing and let maybe your spouse know or a coworker know who claims to be a follower of Christ, let them know that some of the things they are living and doing is not what the Bible is teaching us. We may have to, you know, throw that manure to help them grow in their faith. If we need to tend to our fields, and if we don't, they will fall away from God's word eventually if you do not throw that manure. But please don't actually throw manure at people, because that'll probably get you in trouble. You'll probably lose your friend, because that's pretty gross. But without God's words, weeds can grow up and overtake them. And it is a lot of work to bring them back after there's been no maintenance, no weeding, or fertilizing, or watering. However, you must spread it in a systematic way. If you do not, you don't just go out there and chuck manure, say, you're sinning, you're a sinner, you're doing everything wrong, that's not going to gain you much of a friendship, is it? You must do it as Jesus describes there in Matthew. So that's why that section in Matthew is so important. So in Psalms 126, go ahead and turn your Bibles there. Psalms 126, verse 6. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. So, if we bring sheaves with us, or if we bring others to know God, we can send them up to heaven when God comes here, or he can send them up. So, in conclusion, I want you to think about what kind of seeds you have been planting. Whether it's, like for me, I'll admit, when I'm driving and people cut me off or run me off the road, I'm not the most excited about that. That's the hard part about for me. It's not a very good seed to be planted, especially when your kids ride with you and you're very upset at the people with the car in front of you. If they are not what Jesus would have done, how can you change what you are planting in the future? Think about that. How can you change the way you're planting seeds in the future? Are you going to throw it out by hand? Or are you going to use the equipment that God gave you right here? And how can, like, my attitude change? Say, how can my attitude change in the car when things like this happen? How can I change what I say in the car or when something goes wrong? I challenge you to think of this every morning when you wake up, so you can plant good seeds and not bird seed. Let's bow our heads. God, we just ask you to examine our hearts today. We ask that you will bring to light what seeds we are planting. Then reveal to us how we can better our lives to be more like you. We give you praise and thanks for coming to this earth and sowing your seed here, showing us how to live. We thank you, God. And we ask for your protection over this week and our fourth. We love you and praise you, and in your name, amen. So, go out, plant good seeds. Love on people. Amen. Thanks.